Hey, before we get started with today's episode, I just wanted to jump in and let you know about my brand new free online masterclass coming up in June. The Anxiety Reset is going to show you how to stop anxiety and reclaim your life. We're going to look at everything that you are doing that is creating more stuck anxiety, why the coping mechanisms that you've been using are not working, and I'm going to give you a four-step approach that's going to help you to regain control of your life. So if you're tired of anxiety interrupting your decisions, dictating what you do, then this is the class to join. And best of all, it's absolutely free. The link is in the show notes. Have you ever wondered why anxiety just won't budge? Like, what is it doing here anyway? Welcome to the Ease Anxiety Podcast. I'm Deanta Fuchs, a psychologist turned international anxiety coach, and I'm on a mission to share a new perspective on anxiety that puts you firmly back in control of your life so that anxiety no longer interrupts you. So grab your cuppa, get comfy, and listen in as we demystify, destigmatize, and deconstruct what you think you know about anxiety so that you can finally do what you have struggled with for so long. Ease anxiety for good. Hi, and welcome back to the Ease Anxiety Podcast. My name is Deanta, I am your host, and today we are talking about the five things that you're doing that's keeping your anxiety stuck. This is such an important topic, honestly, because most of the people that I'm working with are doing at least one of these five things because they're trying to manage their anxiety, or they're trying to cope with difficult situations, or they're putting in place what we call safety behaviors to try to make them feel better. But in actual fact, one or more of these things could be the very thing that's actually keeping your anxiety high. And most people don't even know that they're doing this or how these coping mechanisms are actually getting you into more trouble. So I thought today was going to be the perfect opportunity to discuss the five things that you're doing that are keeping your anxiety stuck. So listen in and see how many of these you might be doing, and then you'll have a good idea of why anxiety maybe isn't shifting for you. So the first thing is that you're possibly crazily looking around for that one thing that's going to help you to get rid of anxiety. You're hanging out on all the forums, you're clicking on every Facebook ad, you're searching on the web, you're going to the doctors, you're seeking out acupuncturists, kinesiologists, you're listening to what other people are saying, and you're giving everything a go because you are desperate to find that one thing that's going to get rid of anxiety. Now, if you're resonating with this, I want to tell you, you're not alone. The vast majority of people that I work with that come into my programs were once here. And I'm going to say that when I listen in to what it is that they've been trying to do, I get exhausted listening to all of that. And I think, gosh, if I were trying to implement all of that every day, I would feel anxious just by having to get it done every day. So I'm talking about people who have now implemented a good meditation routine, and they're making sure that they're going for a walk every day. They're trying out yoga. Almost every week, they're going to some or other appointment like kinesiology, acupuncture, massage, a nutritionist, you name it. Anything that they can get their hands on that is going to help them to get rid of anxiety. And before long, they've filled their days and their weeks with all these things that they're trying desperately to do. It's exhausting, I'm sure you will agree. But not only is it exhausting and causing anxiety just purely because of the amount of things that we're trying to do, the fact that we're trying to get rid of anxiety is in and of itself the problem. Because as you know, if you've been listening to me for a while, anxiety really is just an ordinary natural emotional response. And really, there is no possible way of you ever getting rid of it. It's not meant to interrupt your life. It's not meant to be as intense as you're experiencing it, for sure. But getting rid of anxiety in and of itself is impossible. And any time that we're looking for an intervention to be able to get rid of it, we're causing an expectation that will never be fulfilled. And so every time you try an intervention, be it meditation or breathing or that acupuncture or that new supplement, there's going to be a part of you that's kind of looking back to evaluate, is my anxiety going away? Am I getting rid of it? And of course, because you're kind of in this slightly anticipatory space of expecting to see anxiety, you're going to see it. And then your brain is going to say, nothing works for me, which in and of itself creates yet another anxiety-producing thought. So you can see that the very expectation to be rid of anxiety is actually going to cause more of it. What we really want to be doing is getting clear on the fact that this anxiety that we're experiencing for sure is too intense, it's debilitating, it's interrupting our lives, but it is a stuck response. And once we can shift it, we just want to get it back to being an ordinary emotional response, the same as your anger is, your frustration, your fear, your grief. These are emotional responses that come and go, and our anxiety should be exactly the same. The second thing that people do to try and help themselves feel better is hang out in these Facebook groups and these chat groups that are actually not expert moderated. In other words, there's a whole lot of people that are struggling with anxiety and they're hanging out there asking one another for reassurance and information. And there isn't actually an expert or a qualified professional that's helping to answer those questions. Now, of course, we want to have support. We want to join groups where we don't feel so alone and alienated or isolated, where we know that other people just understand what it is that we're going through and what we're afraid of. But so many people that I work with will tell me that they're actually just a little bit traumatized from hanging out in those groups because they suddenly became aware of all these other symptoms of anxiety that maybe they weren't experiencing yet, but now they're afraid that they're going to experience them. Or they've heard about these people who've been struggling for so many years and have tried so many different interventions and nothing's changed. And now they're afraid that they're going to become this person who just can't shift out of their anxiety. So when we're listening to other people's struggles and we're seeing how deeply they're fighting with their own anxiety and the various pretty scary symptoms that they're experiencing, that then becomes part of our own experience. And in the space of anxiety, where your limbic brain is really running the show, it's very hard to rationally think through these things that we're reading and understand that they're not our story. Very quickly, people with anxiety are going to see what other people are saying about their own lives and believe that it's going to become part of ours, which in and of itself creates more anxiety. So instead of finding belonging and acceptance and even reassurance that can calm the nervous system in these Facebook groups, what we are effectively doing is connecting with people that are heightening our anxiety because they're struggling just as much. And there is nobody that's creating a structure or a boundary that is safe in that group, providing you with relevant information that can actually help you. Now, again, I really do want to say that I completely understand why you'd want to be in one of these groups or these chat spaces, especially if your own friends and family simply don't get it or they're not giving you the responses that you're needing. So of course, that support is essential. But ideally, we want to be hanging out in spaces that are moderated by an expert and can provide us the information that is actually going to reassure us rather than trigger our nervous system some more. The third thing that people do is hang out in these groups and then ask other people what they did to stop their anxiety. What medications have they used? What interventions have they tried? How long have they been struggling for? When you're asking other people for what they did, this is trying to answer point number one, crazily looking for that one thing that will get rid of anxiety. And two, hanging out in non-expert moderated groups is only going to give you anecdotal information. What do I mean by that? That means that the people that are answering you are stuck just like you are. They're using medications or they're using interventions and they're having a variety of experiences because the medication that works for one person may not be the medication that works for you. The intervention that works for another person may not be the intervention that works for you. So what we're doing now is we're getting all this information and actually overwhelming ourselves with the various options that are available and still not really being able to trust that this will indeed work for me because there is a part of you that knows this is just their experience. And anyway, if those interventions were working so well, why are they hanging out in Facebook groups where they need support from other people who are struggling with anxiety? My friends, listen up. This is causing so much anxiety. If you need help with medication, go and speak to a professional. Speak to somebody who actually knows about different body types, brain chemistry, and how those medications work. Because asking others who don't have qualifications in this area is likely to just increase your anxiety about the product because you know that the information that you're receiving isn't actually accurate. The fourth thing that you might be doing that's causing more anxiety is keeping on your smartwatch or your Oura Ring so that you can monitor your health signs and you can stay on top of those anxiety symptoms. Now, most people do this because they believe that if they took their eye off of their anxiety, would increase or escalate beyond their control to levels that are beyond what they can cope with. So what they want to do is make sure that they're aware of what their anxiety is doing from 1 minute to the next. Now, some people might just be checking on their symptoms, like having a look at how much am I breathing right now? How is my chest feel? Has that tingling sensation gone away? But many people are even relying on their smartwatches to check their heart rate and their breath rate. Or maybe you even have one of these Oura rings that can monitor your health signs. So you can see when your body is in stress, when your blood pressure has gone up, how well you've slept the night before. And while all of these things, I guess, are generally useful for people who want to track themselves, it is actually not useful for those of us who are struggling with anxiety. And why? Because the more that you focus on your anxiety, the more you're going to see it, and the more anxious you're going to feel because it's not going away. And every time we check, expecting to see something that might be a bit frightening or worrying, then we're also generating some anxiety. The best thing that you can do for yourself is take your smartwatch off. Stop monitoring your heart rate, your breath rate, your sleeping. Take the Oura Ring off. You do not need to know what your body is doing from 1 second to the other. And the less we focus on our anxiety, the more we allow ourselves space to focus on other things. And let me tell you, and I'm sure you'll agree, when you get really busy with something that you're actually focusing all of your attention on, you stop thinking about how anxious you are. And just for that minute, you might find that you're actually not anxious, purely because you're not looking at it anymore. So if you're doing this, now's the time to stop checking on your anxiety symptoms. The fifth and final thing that we might do to try to stop ourselves from feeling anxiety is avoiding situations that might cause more of it. Now, this is probably one of the most common safety behaviors, and people think that if they just avoid that really busy intersection, or if they don't go to that particular supermarket because it's too big and overwhelming, or if they don't travel that far away from home or speak to this person on the phone, then their anxiety will go away. And yes, for the minute, you are giving yourself temporary relief from the anxiety because you don't have to do that thing where you're worried you might become anxious. So absolutely, it's a temporary solution. The problem with this coping mechanism is that we're actually confirming to the anxiety that the thing we want to do is unsafe. And so in effect, and over the long term, we're actually increasing the level of anxiety that we're having about doing that thing. So for example, if my brain and anxiety are telling me that it is unsafe to go through that intersection because I might get anxious and then be trapped, and I then say, yep, I'm not going through that intersection because I might get anxious and then I'll get trapped, I'm colluding and confirming to my brain that that will happen and it is unsafe. So the next time that somebody suggests to me to go through that particular intersection, I couldn't possibly say yes now. My brain's going to say, but what about last time? You thought it was unsafe last time. What makes it different now? And each time that we avoid it, that confirmation becomes stronger. And so the anxiety about that experience increases as well. Now, honestly, this can be as real for big things like intersections and super busy supermarkets, but it is also true for those little things that we're putting off, like making that phone call to book a dentist appointment or to go to that particular gathering for your work function. The minute that you confirm to your anxiety that it's unsafe to do that is the minute you increase anxiety about that experience. So this coping mechanism, while it's bringing that temporary relief, over the long term is 100% keeping your anxiety stuck. So there you have it, folks. The five things that you're doing to help you cope with anxiety, but that is actually causing more trouble than it's worth by keeping that anxiety stuck. So as a quick recap, the first thing is crazily looking for that one thing that's going to get rid of anxiety. If you're doing this, you're probably causing more anxiety. The second one is hanging out in those Facebook groups or those chat groups that are not expert moderated. Because if you're doing this, you're getting a whole lot of information about other people's struggles that are likely to be re-traumatizing. The third one is asking other people for what they've done to stop anxiety, like what medication they're using or what interventions they've tried. Because if you're doing this, you're only getting anecdotal information and overwhelming yourself with the options that may or may not be appropriate for you. The fourth one is keeping your smartwatch or your Oura ring on so that you can monitor your health signs and stay on top of your anxiety symptoms. And while it may feel like you've got your eye on the ball, what you're actually doing is creating so much more anxiety by being hypervigilant to the symptoms. The fifth and last one is avoiding situations that might increase your anxiety, because every time you avoid that situation, you're confirming to your anxiety that it is unsafe and you don't have what it takes to cope. If you've nodded your head to one or more of these five things, then it is time to start doing things differently. And that is why I created the EASE method. So if you want more information, just hit the links down below in the show notes and connect with me or join me for my free class coming up in June. I'd love to hang out with you and show you the ways in which you can manage anxiety and put it back as the ordinary response that it was always meant to be. See you in the next episode. So that wraps up today's episode, and I have a huge favor to ask. If you found any value in what you heard today, please be sure to leave a review. I assure you, it is not to stroke my ego, although it does help me to know that you love the show, but to help the algorithms get this episode into the hands of others who might need it. Make sure you follow the Ease Anxiety podcast so that you never miss a future episode. And lastly, I really love to connect. So find me on TikTok or Instagram and be sure to say hi. All the links are found below in the show notes. Thanks for tuning in.